Okay, so we're learning Perek Yud Ches of Sefer Shoftim. We're nearing the end. Only a couple of prakim more of Sefer Shoftim. So Perek Yud Ches really follows directly on the heels of Perek Yud Zayin. And in Perek Yud Zayin, for those who were here last week, or those who listened to it, or those who have not yet, but we were introduced to a fellow by the name of Michayhu. The Navi starts by calling him Michayhu, and towards the end of the parak, his name, he's referred to as Micha. So the Mefarshim explained that basically he started off the parak, more or less a tzaddik, and ended the parak not as much of a tzaddik, and he ended up with this pesel, with this idol, that again started out maybe not so bad. It was maybe being used originally as an intermediary between him and Hashem somehow, and then eventually we know it turned to Avodah Zarah. And one important facet of last week's perek is that there was a young man, a young Levi, who some of the Mefarshim say was a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, and this young Levi was basically wandering around looking for work, and Micha found him. And he offered him some work. He offered him a room and board, in exchange for basically being the priest of this pesel. And the young man took him up on the offer, and he was this priest for the pesel of Micha. Okay, now we begin Perek Yud Ches. By Yomim Haheim, Ein Melech BiYisrael. So we've seen this concept already in Sefer Shoftim, but it's repeated here. Because it's important. It's an important precursor to the Perek. Bayamim Ahim, in these days, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, there was no king among the Jewish people. So, first of all, what's Bayamim Ahim? When are we talking? At what point in history are we talking? So, Pashup Shad, you would say, you read the Prakim, and you'd say, well, this sounds like it's taking place after Shimshon. Right? Shimshon's story ended in Perek Tes Zayin. Okay? So, we finished Shimshon's story. Now we have the Perek Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. That's the story of Pesel Micha. So presumably this happens after the story of Shimshon. We mentioned last week that Rashi and other Mefarshim understand that this is out of order. It does not happen at this point in history. In fact, it happened all the way back in the beginning of the period of the Shoftim. And it's mentioned here perhaps because of the connection of Shimshon with some of the stories here of Pesel Micha and Pilegesh Megiba. There's some important connections in terms of money and things like that. So there were reasons why there was a connection here. But really, this took place well before. The Radak disagrees, and the Radak says it can't be, because the Pasuk says, Bayami Mahim and Malach B'Yisrael. And earlier in the times of Shoftim, they had Malachim, meaning they had Shoftim, they had leaders. Osniel ben Kenaz was the first Shofet. He was the first leader, so they had leaders at that time. So what do you mean, Ein Melech B'Yisrael? So the Radak understands, no. It happened at this time, after the story of Shimshon, before Eli HaKohen, who's going to be the next leader of the Jewish people, before Eli HaKohen comes onto the scene. So we have this this story. Okay, so the Machlok is exactly when exactly this took place. Now, Uvayomi Mahim continues the Pasuk, Shevet Hadoni, Mevakesh lo nachala la sheves. So Shevet Dan was looking for land. They were looking for land. Why? Ki lo nafla lo ad hayom hahu besoch shivtei Yisrael benachala. Because they didn't have land yet among all the other shvatim. Right? All the other shvatim got a nachala. All the other shvatim got an inheritance of land. Shevet Dan, they didn't yet have land. And therefore they came and they were searching for some land. Now, this is strange, because what do you mean they didn't have land? Right? All the other Shvatim got land except for Shevet Dan? So Rashi points out, he reminds us of the Pasuk back in Yehoshua Perek Yutes, which we don't remember because it was so long ago. But the Pasuk says in Yehoshua Perek Yutes that Shevet Dan actually got a very small portion in one location. They received another portion that was very far away from that first portion. And there were several other lands and other shvatim in between the two portions. So essentially, the pasuk means that they had a portion, but it wasn't ideal. you know, the geography wasn't ideal. It wasn't laid out properly. It was a little piece of land here and then another piece of land there. It wasn't really ideal. The Radak also says that even if they had land, there was not enough land. They didn't have enough land for their shevet. So they had to search for more land. Yeah.
So where were they all this time?
Good question. Where were they? So they were living on these small pieces of land. Some of the Mefarshim say also they were living among other Shvatim. Maybe among the Shevet Yehuda. Other Shvatim that were nearby. They were kind of just, you know, living with them and living in their lands. But again, it wasn't their land. So they were living on someone else's land, you know, which is not comfortable. You know, you'd rather buy your own house.
All right, so that their land that they were supposed to get, they didn't conquer it yet. So therefore, they couldn't live there.
Right, okay. Who is that, the Me'am Lois?
Yeah.
Okay. The Malbim says it a little differently. He says that it was that their land was actually the last to be distributed. He says it was outside of the boundaries of all the other lands. Maybe it was even outside the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And he said because it was so outside of the boundaries, he said whatever land that they had was actually conquered by the Canaanim. So even if they had land, the Canaanim captured the land from them. So they were stuck without land. So, you know, again, there's different interpretations here, but either it means they had a very small piece of land, or they had a little piece of land here, a little piece of land there, or maybe, you know, they hadn't conquered it yet, or even if they had conquered it, the Canaanim had conquered it from them. Whatever the case was, they were out land, and they needed some land. And that's what they were looking for. They were looking for land. The Mefarshim point out here that when the Pasuk says that there was no Melech B'Yisrael, so again, the point of these words, that there was no Melech B'Yisrael, is that if there was a Melech, or if there was a Shofet, they would have been a leader, and they would have prevented these kinds of tragedies from happening. Right? Like in last week in Perek Yud Zayin, we had the story of Micha starting out as a tzaddik, ending up as a Rasha, worshipping Avodah Zarah. In this, you know, Perek, we'll see that almost the entire Shevet Dan ends up worshipping Avodah Zarah. So these are not good developments. These are not positive developments. Why do these things happen? Because of a vacuum of leadership. There's a lack of leadership, and that's why these things happen. Okay. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Vayishlechu v'nei Dan mimishpachtam chamish anashim. So the B'nei Dan sent five men. Pasuk says mimishpachtam, and the Mefarshim understand that there were five families within Shevet Dan, and each family sent a representative. So there were five representatives of Shevet Dan, one from each family. Miktsosam, which literally means from the edges of the Shevet. The Mefarshim understand this means from the prominent members of the Shevet. These were Chashuva people, right? One of the Mefarshim says that, the Metzudas David, says they were Chashuva people. Where else do we find Chashuva people being sent out as Meraglim? Moshe Rabbeinu, Parsha Shlach, who does he send in a Siyam? Right? So here too, right? The Shevet Dan took the lead from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they sent five Chashuva people, the heads of the of these families, out to be the Meraglim. Anoshim b'nei Chayil, they were strong people, they were warriors. Mitzara u'mei Ashta'ol, and they sent them out from these two cities called Tzara and Eshta'ol. And Metzudas David says that these cities were not Dan cities. They weren't cities of Shevet Dan. They were cities of Shevet Yehuda, right? But that's where the people of Dan were living. Because again, they didn't have enough land of their own, so they were living with Shevet Yehuda. So they sent them out from these cities. L'ragelas ha'aretz u'l'chakra. Two terminologies the Malbim points out. L'ragel u'l'chakra. To check out the land, essentially. And we'll see the Malbim in a minute, you know, how he understands this pasuk. Vayomra alehem, and they say to them, the people of Dan charge these five meraglim, lechu chikru es haaretz, go check out, investigate the land. Vayavo har Ephraim, so they go into the land and they come to the har Ephraim at Beis Micha, right near the house of Micha. Vayalinu sham, and they sleep there. They set up camp right near the house of Micha. The Malbim points out, and we saw this once before, I believe this was all the way back in Sefer Shoftim, I'm sorry, Sefer Yehoshua, in the beginning when Yahushua sends the spies into the land of Israel. I'm pretty sure the Malbim is there, although it might be in another place also. And the Malbim says there are two types of spies. There are what we call Tarim and Miraglim. Tarim and Miraglim. These are the two different types of spies. So he says, usually, you first send the Tarim. That's the first batch of spies that are sent out. The purpose of those Miraglim is to determine, is this land a good land or is it a bad land? If it's a good land, we'll conquer it. And if it's a bad land, we won't conquer it. Right? That's the purpose. Now, that's subjective. Right? So says the Malbim, because that's subjective, every group, every sect of, you know, within the group, every subset within this group that's sending spies is going to want to have a representative. Because I don't trust their representative. I want to know that my representative thinks it's a good land. So I'm going to send my representative, you'll send your representative, he'll send his representative. Everybody will have their own representative. Okay? Well, they're not fighting. They're not fighting. They're just going to check out. Is this a good land or bad land?
Where are they going to get it from? Where are they going to obtain it from?
The information?
Meaning Yehuda owns the land. It's Yehuda's land.
Oh, you're saying this particular land. Okay, so they're good. No. So, that again, they were still Goyim living there. They're going to find different lands of Goyim that they're going to kick out. Yeah.
Not in Yehuda's
property, no. Okay, now, the Malbim points out that these Tarim also don't have to be strong. They don't have to be warriors. They're not fighting. They're just going simply to go check out the land to see is it good, is it not good, that's it. He says, honestly, he says most of these people, they pretended they were merchants. And they would go into the cities, they would go into the countryside, and they would sell their wares. And, you know, by doing that, they would be able to check out the land and say, okay, it's good, it's not good. Okay? And that's it. That's Tarim. Miraglim are the second batch of spies that you send out. After the Tarim come back and say, this is a good land, we should conquer it. Right? Now you send out the Miraglim to find out, okay, what's the best way to conquer the land? What are the weaknesses? How should we conquer the land? 1 second. So those Miraglim, says the Malbim, you don't need a representative from every sect. We already decided this is a good land. Now we just need people. We need strategists. Right? We need we need intelligence to find out which way is the best way to conquer the land. So that we send anybody. Number one. Number two, they have to be warriors. Why? Because here they're trying to find the weaknesses of the land. They're not just merchants, you know, milling around and checking things out. Right? They're snooping. They're trying to find out exactly, you know, where the weaknesses lie. People might get suspicious of them. They might end up in a fight. They have to be warriors. So here says the Malbim that here the purpose was twofold. Here they just sent one batch. And they were supposed to be Tarim and Miraglim. Right? They were supposed to check out the land and decide if it was good. And also find the weaknesses of the land and how to conquer it. He says that's why they sent one representative of each. Right? Five from each mishpacha of Shevet Dan. Okay? That's why the Pasuk says they were Bnei Chayil. They had to be warriors. That's why they were chashuv. And that's why it says the Malbim, it says in the Pasuk, L'ragel u'l'chakra. Right? L'ragel u'l'chakra. L'chakra, he says, that's like Tarim. That's to find out, is it good, is it not good? And then L'ragel also, to find out, well, if it's good, how should we do it? Right? What are the weaknesses? How should we go about fighting? Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
But they were living in somebody else's territory.
So they were living in the territory of Shevet Yehuda. Right.
And Yehuda didn't mind the fact
that... No, they let them live there. Maybe they even paid rent. Who knows?
But it didn't...
They weren't conquering their land. Right? The Shevet Dan was not conquering the land of Yehuda. They were just living there. Right? So you have guests who live in the land. It's okay.
And they didn't... They were both Yidden.
Yeah.
But
so they interacted. Maybe they down to the same shul even. I don't know.
But they were probably this guy Micha, who was...
Well, we're not up to Micha yet. We haven't started with Micha yet.
Oh, we didn't start with Micha.
Not yet. We're about to. Okay. So we have these five people. And they were camped out right near the house of Micha. That's what we said in the Har Ephraim. Pasuk Gimel. Heimahim beis Micha. So they're camped out right near the house of Micha. The Heimahi Kiru es kol Hanar Halevi. And all of a sudden they hearken their ear and they recognize the voice of the Levi. Who's the Levi? The Levi who works with Micha, the priest. They recognize his voice. Vayasuru sham. So they go over there to the house of Micha, where the Levi is. Vayomru lo, and they tell him, Mi heviacha, hello. Who brought you here? Right? You're a Levi. How'd you end up here? Uma ata ose, baze. What are you doing? Number one, how'd you get here? Number two, what are you doing here? And number three, uma lecha po. What do you have here? What's keeping you here? Okay? Now, it's interesting, you know, what does the pasuk mean that they recognized his voice? How did they recognize his voice? They knew him before? Right? So the Malbim says something fascinating. He says that the Gemara Bava Basra tells us that this Levi, what we mentioned last week from Chazal, that this Levi was a grandson of Moshe from the family of Kahas. From the family of Kahas. It says Kahas's cities were in, again, all the Levim, remember the Levim cities were spread out. The Levim didn't have one chelek like every other Shevet. They had cities all over Eretz Yisrael. So Shevet Kahas, I'm sorry, the family of Kahas, of the Kahas Levim, their cities were in the following Shvatim: Ephraim, Dan, and half of Shevet Menashe. So says the Malbim, that maybe this fellow really grew up in Shevet Dan. Maybe he was a Levi. His cities were in Shevet Dan. He grew up in Shevet Dan. These guys, five, the heads of the families of Dan, right? They come and they hear his voice. They recognize him. He grew up among us. He was a little kid. He grew up among us, right? So says the Malbim, that's how they recognized his voice. And they asked him three questions, says the Malbim. Question number one, who brought you here, right? Mi heviacha halom. Question number two, what do you do here? Right? Uma ata ose bazeh. And number three, he says, the Malbim understands the third question. Uma lecha po, who's paying you? You know, what's your professional arrangement here? What's your parnasa here? That's how he understands the three questions. Rashi, fascinatingly, understands. He says, if you look at these three questions, these three questions really allude to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, this fellow was a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Chazal. These three questions allude to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Number one, Mi heviacha halom. Says Rashi, that alludes to what Hashem said to Moshe, Al tikrav halom. Remember Hashem said to Moshe, the sneh, don't come too close. Right? Stay right over there, don't come too close. Al tikrav halom. So that's the same words here, Mi heviacha halom. Number two, Uma ata ose bazeh. Okay, so says Rashi, that's like when Hashem asked Moshe, Ma ze biyadecha, right, which was the staff. Moshe Rabbeinu was holding the staff, and Hashem says to him, what's that in your hands? Moshe says it's a staff. Hashem says, throw it down, turns into a serpent, etc. That's alluded to with the words, Uma ata ose bazeh, Ma ze biyadecha. And then finally, Uma lecha po, says Rashi, that alludes to the question that Hashem asked Moshe, Mi sam peh. Because if you remember, Moshe, he didn't want to take the job from Hashem, and he said, because I have a stutter, I have a speech impediment. And Hashem says to him, Mi sam peh la'adam? Who's the one who enables people to speak? Me, right? So, malucha po is like Mi sam peh, alludes to Mi sam peh. What's this connection here? Like, why are we alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu, hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because they were telling him, essentially, what are you doing here? You're a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You're a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. You're a lady. You're a holy Jew. What are you doing in this place? Right? And, you know, what are you doing in this place? Meaning, and there's Avodah Zarah here. You know, they smelled it out, maybe.
Where was this?
This was in the house of Micha.
What territory?
Har Ephraim. Micha lived in the mountains of Ephraim.
And Moshe was still alive?
No. Moshe was dead. Moshe never made it into Eretz Yisrael. Yes. Right? So Moshe died in Eber HaYarden. This was a grandson of his. The grandson was alive. Right? Okay, yeah.
Doesn't a priest have to be a Kohen? If so, but Michal was, he was a lady.
This was a lady, so it wasn't. I mean, listen, this is Avodah Zarah, you know what I mean? It's a makeshift, you know. They kind of, we're more Mako.
You do what you have.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So yeah, Levim could also be priests, you know. Okay. Yeah, David doesn't do Avodah Zarah. He's strictly Avodah Hashem. Okay. So Pasuk Dalet. Now he's answering their questions. Vayomer Aleihem. So he turns back to them and he answers that question. It says the Malbim, he answers all three questions. Kazo v'chaze asali micha v'yizkereni v'ehi lo l'choi. So he says, Micha did such and such to me. Micha was the Baal HaBayis here, obviously. V'yizkereni, and he hired me. V'ehi lo l'choi, and I'm serving as a priest in his house over here. Right? So says the Malbim, he answered all three questions. Question number one, who brought you here? Micha. Right? He doesn't tell them the whole story. According to the Mitzvah HaStav, he tells them the whole story. If you remember from the beginning of last week, he basically says he wandered in here. Right? He was wandering, looking for work. He didn't have parnos, and he ended up here. And Micha offered him a job, and that's what happened. So he told him the whole story. Right? Vayiskareinu, he's paying me to do his work. What is he doing? Vayilu Kohen, and I'm a Kohen here. I'm a priest in this house. Pasuk Hei. Oh. So they said, oh, you're a priest? Okay. So we have a question for you. Vayomru lo, and they say to him, Sha'alna ve'lo. Now there's a question, how to read this word. Right? Do you read it as the Shem Hashem, Elohim? Or do you read this as the as referring to a deity, Elohim? Right? What is this referring to? Is it referring to Hashem? Or is it referring to Avodah Zarah? So the Targum Yonasan understands that this is referring to Hashem. They said to him, oh, you're a priest? So do us a favor. Ask Hashem. Right? They thought he was a priest of Hashem. Okay, maybe he's got some little getchkas here or something. But, you know, they're probably just mediums to get to Hashem. So do us a favor. Ask Hashem, how we should go. What's the question? V'neida, we should let us know, hasatzliach darkeinu, asher anachnu olchim aleha. Right? This path that we're going on now to check out a new land, will we be successful? You tell me you're a priest, so ask. You know, ask Hashem. That's how the Radak the Radak quotes Targum Yonasan, that's how he translates the Pasuk. Many Mefarshim, though, Rashi and the Radak himself says, I'm not sure, and he quotes Chazal, who says that whenever it says the word Elohim in this parasha, with one exception, it's always referring to deities. It's always referring to Avodah Zarah. It's not referring to Hashem. Right? So Rashi understands it this way. And they were saying to him, oh, you ask the Avodah Zarah. Right? You're a priest of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Avodah Zarah, you know, whether we're going to be matzliach, whether we're going to be successful. Yeah, Micha had the Avodah Zarah here. Yeah. So the Mitzvah HaStavit says that they made a mistake, and they thought, well, if this guy's a Levi, and he's the priest here, maybe there's something to this, right? Maybe there really is something to this Avodah Zarah, to this Pesel, and maybe it can tell us the future, and it can give us the news. Is this a good path to go on or not?
If he was a Levi, how could he be doing what the Kohen was?
Again, but this is Avodah Zarah. You know, this is not Avodah. This is not like a Beis Hamikdash. He wasn't that type of a Kohen. This is a Kohen with a small K, a lowercase K. You know, he's a priest. You know, he's a priest.
If he said, "Ask your God."
Yeah.
Then why did they go and ask Hashem? Why did they rely on him? Why did they press him even more and ask more questions or whatever?
Well, again, they're talking to him. And they're saying to him, ask.
No, he didn't
respond yet.
Vayomru lo. And Shaul, I thought that he replied.
No. They're saying to him, Shaul, no, please ask.
Right.
Right. So they're still talking to him. This is them. You know, asking him a favor. Do us a favor, Shaul, no, please ask. Right. So please ask the Avodah Zarah. The Malbim says that they thought that through kishuf, right? Kishuf is like sorcery, some sort of sorcery, that they would be able to give them, you know, that he would be able to give them some sort of an answer through kishuf. The Malbim also says, I don't exactly know what this means, but he says something about like horadas ruchnius. He says kishuf or horadas ruchnius, which basically means the descent of spirituality. Somehow, I don't know exactly what that means, but bringing down spirituality into this world. And somehow they thought that they would be able to get the answer to their question from this Pesach, from this thing. It's interesting, you know, the Radak says here that, you know, they had the Pesach. If you remember from last week, and we'll talk about it this week also, they had what they called truffin, right? Truffin. Now, truffin we know from Lava, right? We know in the Torah it talks about truffin, that Lavan had truffin, which Rachel hid. She hid under the Kara Gamal and he couldn't find them, etc. Right? That was truffin. So what were these truffin? Right? What were these truffin? So the Radak has a few different interpretations of what they were. He says maybe they were some sort of like a sundial or a clock that were used to study the constellations. Otherwise, he says that maybe the astrologers had some ability to create some sort of a form. He says maybe even a form that could speak, he suggests. And he says others say that it actually looked like a person, that these were real idols that looked like people. He brings a proof from Michal Bas Shaul that when she was hiding, and remember she married David, when she was hiding David from Shaul's men, so she, the Pasuk says that she put Truffim in the bed and it looked like a human being, and they came in and they said, oh, David's sleeping, and they left. Right? So that was he proves that the Truffim looks like they look like people here. Okay, but that's what they ask him. Vayomer lohem. Now he responds. Pasuk Zayin. Now he responds. Vayomer lohem hakohen. So the kohen, the priest, this Levi, he's really a Levi, but they call him a kohen here because he's a priest of the Avodah Zarah. So the priest says, lechul shalom, nochach Hashem darkechem asher tel chuvah. So he says you can go in peace. You can go in peace. But then he says something very important. Nochach Hashem darkechem. He uses the Shem Hashem, right? And this is clearly the Shem Hashem, right? This is Pasuk Zayin. It's the Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? In the right Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he's clearly referring to who? Hashem, right? He's clearly referring to Hashem, and he's saying that you'll be matzliach. So again, it seems to be that they said, "Oh, you're a priest of the Avodah Zarah. Ask the Avodah Zarah." And he responds, this Avodah Zarah is a garnished. You know, I can tell you that Hashem says that you'll be successful. But the Avodah Zarah is really worthless. Right? Some say, you know, that he didn't really believe. You know, he was doing this for Parnassa. He didn't really believe in the whole thing. You know, it's almost like it's not the same thing, I shouldn't say that. Whatever. But, you know, sometimes people, you know, they're doing it for a job. It's not exactly what they, you know, it's not exactly what they subscribe to. They're doing it for a job. They're doing it for a job. So that's what some of the Mefarshim say here also. You know, he was a priest for the Avodah Zarah. He needed Parnassa. So he got Parnassa from this. But he didn't really believe in it. He didn't really believe there was anything to this. And he said to them, Hashem is the one who really will give you the information. And he, according to him, he says that it'll be good. You can go. L'chul shalom. Okay? Oh. So they were happy with the response. Pasuk Zayin.
They asked Hashem?
Again. They, according to most Mefarshim, they wanted to ask the Avodah Zarah. He responded, the Avodah Zarah is nothing. Hashem says you'll be fine. That's how he responded. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Vayelchu chamesh esu anoshim vayavu loisha. So they said, okay, he's telling us good news. You know, we're going to be successful. So let's go check out a land to conquer. So they continue on, these five spies. And they come to this place called Laish. Vayiru es ha'am, the Mefarshim say that Laish is the same place as Leshem. In Sefer Yoshua, talks about Leshem, that the people of Dan conquered this city called Leshem. He said it's the same place. Laish and Leshem is the same place. Vayiru es ha'am asher bekirba, Yosheb es levetach, kemishpat Sidonim. He says they found the people who settled in this land called Laish, they were very comfortable. Yoshim Levetach, right? They weren't suspicious of anything. They weren't well armed, right? They were
outside Eretz Yisrael.
This seems to be, I believe so. Yeah, I believe this is outside.
Why would they think they're going to find land outside if they were promised land inside?
Again, so the land that they were given apparently wasn't enough for them. So they needed more land. Yeah, they needed more land. Okay, so they see these people are sitting very, very comfortably. They're not suspicious of anything. Shokate uvoteach. Again, they're quiet. They're comfortable. They're peaceful. Vein machlim davar ba'aretz. So the Mefarshim would have said ein machlim means that they were well off. They were well off. Nobody was embarrassing anybody else. Everybody was self-sufficient. They were all well off. They had their own means of parnasa. Yoresh etzer, right? They didn't have any Yerusha to worry about. We'll see what that means in a second. Urechokim hema mitzidonim, but they were actually very far from the tzidonim, from tzidon. V'davar ein lahem imada, and they didn't have anything with anyone. Now many of the Mefarshim, Rashi, and the Malbim understand that number one, they were very comfortable. They weren't well armed because they didn't have a need to be. Right, this was like a land that was kind of like in a valley somewhere off to the side. Nobody really knew about this. Nobody was trying to conquer them. They were far from other lands, so the Meraglim are thinking here: this is a great land to conquer because no one's going to come help them. Right, they're very far from everyone else, and also the Davar Ein Lahem Mimadim, they didn't have any trees with anyone else. So it's not like if we conquer them, somebody else is going to come and say, hey, oh, you know, we promised to get your back, so we'll come protect you. They didn't have any trees with anyone. This was a land really unto itself, by itself. Yeah.
What was their business?
Whose?
These.
We don't know. Well, what did they do for a living?
Health professionals.
The pasuk doesn't say.
They were traders.
The pasuk doesn't say. They were traders, it says?
Yeah.
Okay. Me'am Loewe says they were traders. Doesn't really say exactly what they were.
Merchants,
yeah. The Malbim says that there was no need to fear them because, you know, he says some people used to make money by fighting. You know, they would go, they would loot, you know, other lands, they would conquer other lands, they would take money from other people. These people, they had nice professions. You know, they didn't have to worry about looting people. And
they were doing some sort of Avodah Zarah here, weren't they?
I mean, in this, we don't hear anything about Avodah Zarah here. You know, we just hear about the way they're living. Sorry?
What were they doing? What were they selling?
We don't know. We don't know. It doesn't say.
Were there people living there now? Before? Were there
People of Laish. There were people there.
People dwelling over there.
Yeah, sure.
So they were going to fight them for their land.
Yeah, but they won't have to fight very hard. That's the point.
Did they know if they were warriors?
They were not warriors. They were professionals. These were white-collar people.
Oh, they knew that.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. It's like the five towns. And everybody was, you know, they were professionals here. They weren't rough and tumble, you know, these people. Malbim says they had no external enemies, right? There were no enemies. You know, sometimes you have a land and there's enemies, you know, to that land. So they have to. So they're strong people. They're warriors because they have to always, you know, watch their back. They didn't have to watch their back. These people. Nobody cared about them. They lived in peace and harmony among themselves. So there was no infighting, right? And then finally, he says, there was no king. Sometimes you have a king who has a family, he's got princes, so then they have to have an army because they have to defend their throne. There was nothing to defend. These were just a bunch of nice white-collar people living together, you know, with white picket fences, everything was peaceful, you know. They were a very weak people. They weren't strong because they didn't have to be. Nobody cared about them, they didn't care about anybody else. They were just nice, peaceful people living by themselves. Oh.
But they weren't living by themselves. They were living among another group.
No. This place in Laish, they were unto themselves. They were unto themselves. The five spies are seeing this and they say, hey, this is good. This is good pickings here. Right? This is like the wolf, you know, who sees that little chicken just, you know, clucking along. This is perfect. Pasuk Ches. Vayavo el acheyem tzara ve'eshta'o. So they go running back to their brothers, right? With the rest of Shevet Dan, who remember, right, are settled in these Yehuda cities of Tzara and Eshta'o. So they turn to them, and right, meaning the people of Dan turn to the Meraglim and they say, "Nu, what do you got for us? Right? Ma, tell me, what do you have? What news do you have for us? It's interesting. You know, I thought that it says Ma Atem. Now, Ma Atem literally means, what are you? Now, all the Mefarshim say here, what do you mean, what are you? They mean to ask, you know, what news do you have? Did you find anything? Did you find anything out? Right? So I was thinking that it could be that, you know, we are defined by our mission in life. If these people, their mission was to find out this information, so they're asking them, what information do you have? Meaning, Ma Atem. What are you? Right? Meaning, what do you have for us? This was their mission. Their mission defines their essence. So for us, the Musar is that our mission, you know, that's who we are. If we're not doing our mission, you know, we're not living as the Jews that we're supposed to with the connection to Hashem. That's our mission in life, or whatever else within that is our particular mission. So then Ma Atem, right? Well, what are we? You know, what are we doing? So that's their mission. So they said, "No, what do you have for us? What information?" Pasuk Tes Vayomru Kuma V'Na'ale Aleihem. Let's go, guys. Right? We found the perfect place. This place called Laish. It's perfect. Let's go. We got to go right now. Ki Ro'inu Es Haaretz V'Hinei Tova Ma'od. We checked out the land. It's great. It's a good land to conquer. V'Atem Machshim Al Teyotzlu L'Leches Lavo L'Reshes Es Haaretz. And they say, "Don't be lazy." Right? Don't delay. Don't be lazy. We got to go right now. Okay? Now the Mefarshim say, why are they in such a rush? So they say, because right now they're sitting ducks. But if they get wind of the fact that we're coming for them, so then they're going to hire security. Right? They're going to arm themselves. They're going to prepare for battle. We don't want that to happen. Right now they're sitting ducks. We'd like to get them as sitting ducks. So let's go quickly, you know, while we have them, and let's just go and conquer them. Oh. Also it says, you know, what are they... The Lavola Resha says, you're not even going to have to fight. Right? You don't even have to fight. You're just going to be able to come in and just steamroll right over them and just take their land. Pasuk Yud. Kivoachem tavo elam boteach. As you come, you're going to come right into a very secure and comfortable people. V'haaretz rachavas yodayim. It's a very wide, expansive land. Part of our concern was we don't have enough land for Shevet Dan. This is plenty of land for us. Right? There's a wide expanse of land here. Plenty of land for us. Ki nesana Elokim b'yadchem makom asher ein shom machzor kol davar asher ba'aretz. They said this is a God-given land. He's giving it to us. Okay? You're not going to have to fight for it. And it's not missing anything. The Mefarshim say here at the end, ein shom machzor kol davar asher ba'aretz. It's not missing anything either. It's not missing anything that they have in Eretz Yisrael. Or... even more powerfully, perhaps, some of the Mefarshim say, it's not missing anything in the world. This is a pristine land. It's a great land. They have everything here. Right? It's got water. It's got produce. It's got everything. Right? This is a perfect land. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayisu misham mishpachas Adoni mitzaro umeyashta'ol sheish meos ish chagur klei milchama. So the people, excuse me, says the Malbim, they trust and despise. So they left right away. And like the spy said, don't be lazy. You got to be zealous. You got to be hezrizus. Let's go right away. The people listened. And right away, the people from Dan, who were settled in Sarah and Eshta'o, they got up 600 men, were armed, and they ran to this place called Laish to conquer it. Pasuk Yibbeis, Vayalu Vayachanu B'Kiryasi Arim B'Yehuda. And they went up and they settled. Again, they started out in Yehuda. Right, the Tzara and Eshtal, we said, are in Shevet Yehuda. So they went, they traveled a bit, and they set up camp, still in the land of Yehuda. And the point of this was, the Malbim says, was that, you know, they're going on a long journey, they want to prepare, they want to get ready. So they made like a temporary camp here in Shevet Yehuda, to prepare enough food for the journey, to prepare themselves for this long journey. And this place where they camped is still to this day, says the Navi, called Machane Dan, Acharei Kiryas Ya'arim, which is right near, a little bit beyond, Kiryas Ya'arim. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavu Misham Har Ephraim, Vayavu Ad Beis Micha. So they come again past the Har Ephraim, they come to the house of Micha, which is where that's where originally they got that good piece of good news from the Levi. Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayanu chameshes ha'anoshim aholchim l'ragelas ha'aretz, Laish. So the five people that originally went to spy the land, and they were the ones who originally found Laish. Vayomar lachayim, they said to their brothers, "Hayidatem ki yesh babatim ha'ila eforu trofim upesel umasecha." They said, "Hey, you know what we found on the way here? This was like a landmark. You know, this was, check it out on the left. You know, passing on the left, this was a house of Micha. There's all sorts of good stuff here. There's a pesel here. There's an ephod. There's a masecha." Right, we learned last week all these different terms, all different forms of avodah zarah. There's a lot of good stuff in here in this house. Yato de umatasu. And they said, "Listen, you know, get ready. Let's take this stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff here. Pesel Micha. Let's get it. Let's take it. Right? Once we're passing by, we might as well get it." Okay?
Who does it belong?
Micha.
Micha.
They want to take it from Micha. Right? Pasuk Tezvav. Vayasuru Shama. So they make a, you know, they hang a left, and they go down towards the house of Micha. Vayavo el veis hanara levi beis Micha. Vayishalu lo l'shalom. So they go, they knock on the door, and they find the young man, the Levi, and they say, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, how are you doing?" Pasuk Tezayin, v'sheish mios ish chagurim klei melchamtom, nitzavim pesach ha'ashar ha'ashem ibnei Dan. And the 600 armed men from Shevet Dan are down by the gate. Right? They're down there, they're waiting there by the gate. The Malbim says that these five men were the ones who went to knock on the door. They were the ones who met the Levi the first time around. So they went back to knock on the door. They said, "Shalom Aleichem." And they said, "Look, you know, we've come with 600 men, and we're all wishing you a Shalom Aleichem. And we all want to know how you're doing." So he comes out to greet them. Right, this lady.
They brought 600 men with
weapons? Yeah, but they weren't fighting him. They're going to fight Laish. Right? They're going to conquer this place called Laish. This is just a stop. It's a rest area. Pasuk Yitzayim. Vayalu chameshes ha'anoshim ha'olchim l'ragel ha'aretz. So they did like a bait and switch. You know, they brought him out. He came out and he went out to meet the 600 men. They said, "Look, you know, we brought more people from Shevet Dan. Come say Shalom Aleichem to them." So he comes out to say Shalom Aleichem to these 600 men. He's schmoozing with them. These five guys, when he's schmoozing with them, they sneak in the back. Right, these five guys sneak in the back. This is how the Malbim understands it. Before he realized what was happening, and they went to take all the avodah zarah. They went to take the pesel micha plus all the other accessories that came with the pesel, the ephod, and the trefim and the masech and all this stuff. Ve'akohen, and where's the priest? He's nitzav pesach hashar. He's down by the gate with the 600 men. So he's down there. They got him out to say Shalom Aleichem to the 600 men. Now they snuck in behind him to go steal the pesel, the masecha, and all those things. So they go in to the house and they take it. So here there's a dispute in the Mefarshim. Some of the Mefarshim say that as he's talking to the 600 men, he looks around and he says, "Hey, where are those five guys?" And he turns around and he says, "Oh my gosh, they probably went in there." And he bolts back into the house to find the five guys, catches them in the act, you know, stealing this stuff. And he says, "Hey, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing with that stuff?" Some of Farshim say that he didn't realize until they came out with it. And he turns around and he sees them holding all the stuff. And he says, "What are you doing?" Okay, but either way, he's asking them, you know, "What in the world are you doing? You're taking all this stuff." So they say to him, "Hacharesh." I said, "Look, relax, relax. Sim yadcha apicha. Relax, keep quiet. Don't yell. Don't scream. Don't make a scene. V'lechi manu. Why don't you come with us? Come with us. V'heye lanu la'av u'lekoen. And by us, you'll also be a priest. And we'll even make you, we'll promote you. You'll be an Av, you'll be like a Chosh of a priest, you know. Hatov Yosra Kohen, the Beis Yishechar, or Yosra Kohen, the Shevet Ul Mishpacha B'Yisrael. What would you prefer? Would you prefer to have, you know, you're going to be, okay, you're in charge of this house. But look at the size of this. This is one house. So you're the priest of Beis Micha, Shkoyach. Come with us. You'll be the chief priest of Shevet Dan. And the guy thinks to himself, not bad. Not a bad idea. Right? Pasuk Chav, Vayitav Lev HaKohen. Right? The Kohen, the priest says, yeah, not a bad idea. Vayikach HaSayif, Vesachrof, Vesapesel, Vayov HaBekerif HaOch. He says, you know what? That makes sense. That I think that's a good idea. I like that idea. And he takes the stuff and he joins Shevet Dan. Now, you know, two things, and with this we'll conclude. Number one, so you see this guy, you know, he's very easily persuaded, right? You know, the guy's looking for Parnassa. He's out of work, right? So last week, you know, Michal offered him a job, so he took that job. This week they're telling him we'll offer you a promotion, so he takes that job. You know, he's easily persuaded, number one. Number two, we see that what started out last week as something not so terrible and then descended into Avodah Zarah for the house of Micha is now descending into Avodah Zarah for Shevet Dan, for a whole Shevet in Klal Yisrael, right? So what starts out as bad, you know, or Parav becomes bad, is now getting worse and worse and worse. And Beis Hashem will see next week the conclusion of this and what happens with Shevet Dan with this whole story.
Okay, Shkayach.